And in the studio with our monthly visit, we have Darren Munn from Munn Wealth Management to talk faith and finances. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning.
And really, it's kind of been kind of quiet, would you say, or at least nothing extreme right
yeah,
now?
Hopefully everyone's been enjoying the summer and not really paying attention to, you know, the ups and downs of what goes on in the financial markets and just is enjoying the summer.
Well, I guess we kind of noticed something here. The gas prices went up a little bit in Ohio.
They did. They had a nice little jump. I believe it was just last week. The gas tax went into effect, and so we saw a 10-cent increase in gas taxes. So, yeah, that was not fun. But
oh, why did they pick the week of 4th of July when gas prices usually go up because of demand?
Imagine that, right? I mean, on one hand, you know, it makes a lot of sense. It's a tax that's directly tied to consumption and theoretically should be used to fix the infrastructure that we use. However, our government doesn't have a strong track record of using those dollars for what they're designed to be used for. And so, you know, it's one of those things where I think we can all see the need for our roads to be improved and for, you know, bridges, and that all needs to function properly. But the issue has been in the past that those dollars have been commandeered for other purposes. And so hopefully, not that I'm holding my breath, but hopefully those tax revenues will be used for what they're supposed to be used for.
And that's true with federal, state, and local governments.
Yes, yes.
But the Turnpike, probably one of the nicest road in Ohio, but that we pay tolls for that.
Yes, yes. And the original proposal for the Turnpike was that the tolls were temporary. It was until the initial bonds were paid off. However, amazingly, even when that happened, suddenly the tolls stayed around, and you know, now that revenue is being used for other stuff. And they've even used Turnpike bonds to pay for infrastructure development elsewhere. And so, many times the things were promised just don't come to fruition. So,
but they have been using some money on fixing roads in the Toledo area, that's for sure.
Yes, yes. It makes it very difficult for me to get from my office to here because half the roads are blocked off between here and there.
Plan the construction strategically so you're not blocking off a whole section of the town.
That's right.
Well, anything in the news right now that's noteworthy?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that are just kind of, you know, hanging on there. We've got some of the major things overhanging. We've got in Europe, you've got this whole Brexit situation where England is looking to leave the European Union. That really is supposed to, you know, October is kind of a drop dead date, but right now England's kind of in a state of flux because the Prime Minister Theresa May stepped down, and so they're in the process of selecting a new Prime Minister, but there's some deadlines quickly approaching for that situation. Here in the U.S. we've got, you know, I would say growing concerns about the state of the economy. You know, even later this month the Federal Reserve Bank is meeting for their, they have 8 meetings a year. So this is one of those 8. And, you know, the expectation is that they're going to now lower interest rates. So remember, you know, last year, the 2 years prior, they've been raising interest rates. Now the market is expecting them to lower interest rates because the economy seems to be showing some weakness. And so, you know, that will be interesting to see what ultimately plays out there. And then, of course, we're, you know, with the election ramping up, we're seeing a lot of, let's just say, rhetoric.
Yeah, promises.
Yeah, well, that, and I think just a stirring of discontentment. One of the latest things we're hearing now is this issue of student loan forgiveness. And so I certainly understand the plight of students who are coming out of college with massive amounts of student loans, but at the same time, they've taken on those loans with an agreement to pay it back, you know, just like any loan we take on. And, you know, when we look at the biblical principles of that, you know, when we take on debt, we are supposed to pay it back. And, you know, I think there are other issues with the education system that certainly need to be addressed. But I would just caution people to not fall prey to the rhetoric, especially, you know, primarily in political circles of that are stirring discontent. Because, hey, it sounds great. If you're saddled with a lot of student loan debt, great. It'd be awesome for the government to forgive that somehow. But the reality is that it's not the government's debt to forgive. I mean, there are other people, you know, oftentimes those are through banks or other things that have made those loans. And so it's not as easy as what it may seem.
Well, of course, some of the rhetoric with the election coming up is free education for all. How is that possible? Or is it possible?
Theoretically, it's possible, but it would mean that certain people would have to pay for it, right? Nothing's free, so it has to be paid for, and it means that, you know, taxes would be going up or the government would be borrowing. One, it's not sound economically. It's also not sound biblically. You know, just because the government can raise taxes doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And so, you know, the reality is there's lots of great educational opportunities available for everybody. If I get up on my soapbox a little bit, I think one of the primary concerns that I see out there is that we're trying to direct every high school student into college. And I think that's a major disservice. And that's part of the root of this whole student loan crisis is we're shoving a lot of kids into college that shouldn't be going to college. There's many other great opportunities like trade schools or you know other opportunities to learn skilled trades and are a fraction of the cost and a fraction of the time. And we have massive shortages of workers in those areas that in many cases are great paying jobs. And we're talking $50, $60, $80, $100,000 a year for these jobs in the trades. And they don't have anyone to fill them. But then we're directing kids into college, you know, and they're running up, you know, $50, $60, $80,000, $100,000 in student loan debt coming out with a degree that they really can't make much more than $30,000 or $40,000 a year. And that is the disservice that's being done.
I've heard of a lot of young adults that went to college for certain things and they're doing something else.
Yeah.
they did nothing with their degree.
Yes, absolutely. And then part of it, you know, I mean, you can certainly direct blame in a lot of different areas, but you see colleges, even though they're structured, most of them as nonprofit, that doesn't mean that everything they're doing is ethical, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, they've created a lot of these degrees to capture students that really are not marketable degrees. And so, you know, I think that's another factor in that whole student loan quandary is, you know, they have these degrees that just aren't marketable, but the sales pitch is, hey, it's a college degree, and like that's supposed to get you something. And the reality is you may have a college degree, but that's not a, you know, a guarantee to a decent paying job.
Can you name some of the trade jobs that are in most demand right now?
The first thing that jumps to mind is in the construction industry. I mean, pretty much anything construction, there is a massive shortage of workers. So, you know, just, you know, whether it comes to the home building trades, carpentry, plumbing, things like that. And then you get into even the more commercial construction, you know, welding, insulation, you know, all of those major trades, you know, electricians, you know, there's huge demand for those types of things. And, you know, we just don't have enough. You're seeing industries like railroads that have been trying to find, you know, skilled workers. And, you know, so lots of, you know, pretty much anything construction. And a lot of times it's, you know, we think, yeah, you know, that I'm working outside in the hot sun. It's think of things that aren't in an office, you know, road construction, you know, these aren't necessarily the most glamorous things, but in many cases, they can have a very nice income, and we just have a shortage of people. And you know, you could also argue that, you know, we have a generation of people that maybe don't have the same work ethic that previous generations have had. I think there's some truth to that. I think, you know, pretty much every, you know, young generation has had some of those issues, and us older people look down and say, oh, you know, they don't work as hard as we do, but maybe they haven't learned that part yet. But the reality is there are a lot of young people that they can work hard. And I think, you know, we as mentors, you know, should help steer them in directions that are maybe more suitable for what their skills are.
We're talking with Darren Munn of Munn Wealth Management. And one of the things that Darren likes to do is get into the word about finances.
Yes, definitely. Today, we're going to read a little bit from 1 Timothy 6, and starting in chapter 6, and it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." I don't think you really need a lot of commentary on that passage right there. I mean, I think it pretty much says it. But what really was jumping out at me is again, the first part talking about contentment. You know, contentment is really a part of godliness and being more like Christ. And that really, as believers, that's what we should be striving for. Verse 8 says, "If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." And then you see in others of Paul's writings, you know, where he talks about contentment and being content, whether he has little or plenty. The reality is, we are rich. I mean, pretty. If you're listening to this station, you're rich. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, the poor people in our country, they've got cell phones, they've got smartphones, they've got, you know, running water, indoor plumbing, and things that 100 years ago, the wealthiest people in America didn't have. And so, you know, we are an extremely blessed nation. We are an extremely blessed people. And I hope we realize that and are content in our circumstances. And I'll just stop there.
All right, Darren Munn from Munn Wealth Management, thank you for your monthly visit here to ESFM. And what is your website?
Our website is munwealth.com.
Thank you, Darren. We'll talk to you next month.
It's my pleasure. We'll see you then.